I want to talk to you for just a moment about the Roman Catholic Church, okay? Don't you know, just recently, Friday, May 14th, churches agree Pope has overall authority. The following subject is certainly an item to be watched and carefully attended to in prayer. It must not become a target for hysteric reactions if it cannot, on the other hand, but it cannot, on the other hand, be taken lightly. What have they done? The Pope, Daily Telegraph, UK. Thursday, May 13th, 1999, the Pope was recognized as the overall authority in the Christian world by the Anglican and Roman Catholic Commission yesterday, which described him as a gift to be received by all the churches. Disagreement about the extent of the Pope's authority was one of the main causes of the English Reformation in the 16th century. Yes, that's when Martin Luther kicked out of the traces and the Great Reformation took place and the great Protestant ranks came into being. However, they kept so much of Mama inside of them that they're now going back. The Bible tells us, ladies and gentlemen, that before Jesus comes, that seven women will take hold of one man. The implication and the scripture implies emphatically that the seven main religions of the world will continue to operate within the confines of the number one religious authority recognized on the earth, the Vatican. They will all go to the Roman Church, and they're doing it, and they will say, we will maintain our own traditional worships and our own houses. All we ask you to do, Mr. Pope, Mr. Vatican, is to recognize us as a legitimate religion and that we all will find our way to God. Just recently, one of the leading archbishops in line to become the next pope has said he has become convinced that Jesus Christ is not the only way to God, that we can get into heaven another way. And you want to tell me that the Catholic Church is recognized as a Christian church when they deny the very words of Christ? They honor him with their lips, but their heart is far from him. She is a harlot church. She's unfaithful to God. She's an abomination to truth. And she has produced hordes of daughters called denominations. And the one you belong to belongs to her. The Roman Catholic Church. And what is behind Rome's Virgin? I have a set of two booklets here that are absolutely very informative, written by Brother Jim Searcy, The Roman Catholic Church and What is Behind Rome's Virgin. The Bible says that the false prophet is going to make all men worship the image of the beast. And whosoever does not worship the beast or its image shall they cause them to be put to death. Is that not the history of the Roman Catholic Church? Go study the Inquisitions. Study the Crusades. Entire people were wiped out because they refused, and nations, because they refused to bow to the Pope and his secular authority administered by governments that they controlled. Let me send you these two books, The Roman Catholic Church and What is Behind Rome's Virgin. I'll send them to you if you'll write and ask for the books on Catholicism or on the Roman Church. Address your letter to me, Brother Stair, S-T-A-I-R, Walterboro, W-A-L-T-E-R, B-O-R-O, Walterboro, South Carolina, zip code 29488, USA. Ask for the books on the Roman Catholic Church. Two booklets. Send an offering, if you will, and we'll get the books right back to you. God bless you, and again, Maranatha, it is remarkable that as we talk about biblical prophecy, we all know that the climax of the age has been ascribed, clearly written about in the book of Daniel and also in the book of Revelation. And the revelation is exactly what it is. It's a revelation. It gives you an understanding of events, happenings, entities that are taking place upon the face of the earth. In Revelation chapter 13, and I beheld another beast. Now, we talked about the first beast, and we know. The first beast mentioned here in Revelation 13 is the New World Order, a new world government. Now, I haven't got time to go into that now. I don't want to go and carry away with it right now again, because I want to talk about the second beast. The first beast is going to be a world government that will compass the entire world. It will run the world like the world governments do. Remember, Jesus said, the way I do things is not the way the world does things. He said, I give you peace, but not as the world gives peace. You know that's a fact. The world's been offering mankind for peace for ever since the First World War. They were going to fight wars and end all wars. Then went to the Second World War. Then he went to the Korean War, the Vietnam War. Now we're in the Yugoslavian War, the Somalian War, the Middle Eastern War, and hundreds of other wars. And there's just no peace. They say peace, peace, when there is no peace. It's a government planning to take over and rule the entire world under the guise of peace. Their number one policemen are going to be peace keeping forces, or they're going to force their peace. It's not really peace. They will say peace and safety, and then in the process they will destroy dignity, character, millions of lives, damn masses of souls. For by peace, the end time government controlled by Lucifer and his agents on earth, the governments of the world. Remember, Lucifer said to Jesus, you see all those kingdoms of the world out there? He took them up on a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms, the governments, the dictators, the democracies, the republics of the world. And he said to Jesus, you bow down and you worship me. And I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. I will let you rule over them. Under me, of course. Well, the first beast is the fourth beast mentioned, or the final or the last world government that God gave to Daniel when he told him to seal up the book. You can get more information about that by writing and asking for the tape series, the thunders of Revelation. I go into that in great depth and great detail on the first three thunders, which have already been uttered and are already dramatically moving. The book, or the thunders of Revelation, is a six-tape series. I think we've reduced it to six tapes. And you can get it for just a $15 donation or offering. Be sure your funds sent are an offering, not the cost of the tape. Don't say, I want to buy or purchase. That's not what we do. You give your offering, you request the tapes, we'll send them to you. If we don't have them, we receive your offering anyway, send you the Word of God in every way we can, and bless you. You give unto the Lord. The second beast, and I beheld another beast. See, the first one came out of the sea, out of the masses of people. The next one came out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He spake as a dragon. That dragon got me, huh? He spake as a dragon. He exerciseth all the power. I want you to grasp that. He doesn't have the power of the first beast. The second beast does not have the political power or the economic power or the social power or the governmental powers that the first beast has. But he is in a position to influence and to direct and to instruct and to coerce and to get the first beast to do its bidding. Isn't that what the religious system did when Jesus was here the first time? Remember, the Jewish Federation of Church, the Judaizers, the high priest, they had their own government under Caesar. They even had their own army or soldiers. Or don't you remember that Jesus was arrested not by Roman soldiers, but by the soldiers from the temple guard? It is ironic, is it not, ladies and gentlemen, that the Roman Catholic Church has their own intelligence, their own spy network, their own police force, their own military. Yeah, go to the Vatican. You'll find out they have a group called the Swiss Guard. They have their own police. No other church is like that. No other religious system is like that. No. This Roman Catholic Church is involved in politics. It controls so much money financially that it actually demands recognition and compliance from many governments of the world. It's exercising the power of the governments. Let me just read something for you. A massive political campaign is underway in an effort to achieve religious and political control of crucial American policies and institutions. Yeah? A massive political campaign is underway in an effort to achieve religious and political control of crucial American policies and institutions. Who's doing that? An effort which the popular press and television have virtually ignored. But who's doing it? Why? It was inspired by the Vatican. The Vatican? The Vatican? This nice church system that outwardly appears as a whited sepulcher. but inside it's full of dead men's bones. Huh? This political campaign to influence politics in government, and precisely now directed, and I told you, Mr. Clinton got his orders from the Pope, both in the peace process with Israel and in the bombing of Yugoslavia, and he thumbs his nose at the Constitution, at the American people, because he knows that the powers that control and manipulate much of the destiny of these nations now is the Vatican and the international bankers, and they at this point are in agreement to accomplish their goal. It was inspired by the Vatican. It has been carried out over a period of years under the supervision of the National Council of Catholic Bishops. The bishops have created the impression that they speak for 59 million Catholics, which are now the number of Americans who are Catholics, which makes them a formidable political force able to influence or intimidate presidents and other public officials. For example, they had an important and close relationship with President George Bush. Now, I'm going to go back before that. I tried to tell you people it was Mr. Ronald Reagan, a fine, supposed to be Christian president that we had, who has been claimed to be a fine, fine Christian, a great communicator. It was under Mr. Reagan that the United States recognized the Vatican in ambassadorships. I've often told about this. Most of you forgot about it. Mr. Reagan had gone to China. On his way back, his plane touched down in Anchorage, Alaska. And while he was there, Vatican I also was there. And Mr. Reagan had a historic audience with the Pope in Vatican I. That's right. And if you would go back and research it, you will find out that the two planes of both Air Force One and Vatican I sat on the tarmac of the airport in Anchorage, Alaska. The doors were open, the steps were put in place, and a red carpet was placed between these two planes. Who do you think disembarked and went from one plane to the other? I mean, isn't the President of the United States recognized as the number one man politically and power-wise in all the world? Isn't that what most people think? The President of the United States? Would it be that the Pope would get off of his plane, come down the steps, and walk across the way up into Air Force One? Isn't that what protocol is? Protocol is lower man always goes to the higher man in authority. Well, believe it or not, Mr. Reagan, dressed up in his black suit, stepped out of Vatican I, walked across the carpet up, stepped out of Air Force One, walked across the carpet, and went into Vatican I. You see, it was the low man going to the high man. You watched it again. As Mr. Clinton and all of his power and all of his main thrust worldwide, he overrules constitutional rights, he ignores Congress, he pursues the pursuits of the secret brotherhood. But when the Pope came to St. Louis, you notice he didn't go to Washington to see Mr. Clinton. No, sir, No, ma'am. On that day, the government of the United States stopped turning as Mr. Clinton and Mr. Gore and God knows how many other political power entities went to St. Louis. Again, the low man going to the high man. Just recently, we have heard now that the religious world, the Orthodox churches, the Anglican churches, have admitted and agreed that the number one religious authority on the face of the earth is the Vatican, headed up by the Pope. You people today are really deceived and deluded. Jesus made it very clear that the number one deceiving entity would be the religious world. And they're doing it. For example, after Mr. Reagan, a close and an important relationship with President Bush was cultivated. Within a month after Bush took office, now he's an Episcopalian or an Anglican, he included all five. Are you listening to this? He included all five of U.S. cardinals in meetings at the White House. And thereafter, can you imagine the president bringing in these religious leaders on briefings and important meetings involving American politics and foreign affairs and what have you? And he includes the cardinals? He didn't call in Billy Graham. He didn't call in the bishop of the Methodist Church or the Anglican bishop. No. The cardinals become a regular entity in high-level meetings at the White House. Cardinals Bernard Law of Boston, John O'Connor of New York spent overnight at the White House as guest of the president. Doug Weed, a special assistant to the president, was quoted in December 29, 1989, National Catholic Reporter, as saying that Bush has been more sensitive and accessible to the needs of the Catholic Church than any president I know of in American history. Remember now, it was under Mr. George Bush that the New World Order thrust was made prominent by the war against Iraq. It was after Mr. Bush and Mr. Gorbachev met with the Pope that thing was launched and brought forth. What am I trying to tell you? I'm telling you, you're watching the second beast of Revelation, which speaks like a lamb, or which has two horns like a lamb. You know, two horns. Oh, we're concerned about the religion, get right with God, you know, hand, or like a lamb, aren't they? But he speaks like a dragon. You better do what I tell you to do. And he is involved. Every leader puts on black in their private audiences. Every leader, religious, political, makes no difference. You must wear black. Even Castro did it. Arafat did it. The high priest of Israel did it. The premiers, the Gorbachev did it. My God, even American preachers, Graham and Rex Humbert and others, have worn the black into the presence of the Pope, wearing his white, bowing before him, calling him Holy Father. Ah, God help us, abominations of abominations. Mr. Weed said, we want the church to feel loved. Or Mr. Bush said, we want the church to feel loved and want it, and we want them to have input. That relationship with Mr. Bush, and input was maintained through the cardinals. Mr. Wed also boasted that this administration under George Bush has appointed more Catholic cabinet officers than any other in American history. There were, however, a number in the Reagan administration as well. The bishops organized their political campaign in 1975 and outlined it in an internal pastoral letter for Catholic officials and organization. And what they've done is that they have set up a political organization in each parish, diocese, state, and on other levels in an effort to take control of American politics. What an interesting article. It's written by John M. Swimley, who has Humanist Distinguished Service Award, and is professor of St. Paul's School of Theology in Kansas City, Missouri, and president of Americans for Religious Liberty. They keep telling all of us Protestants, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. And then they bring the U.S. Cardinals and Bishop right into the White House and give them input into American politics. Yes, the second beast, the Roman Catholic Church in the Vatican, is deeply involved in the New World Order. Mr. Malachi Martin told us that the three men vying to control the New World Order with Mr. Bush, Mr. Gorbachev, and the Pope of Rome. And he said at that point, the Pope was winning. He has. He has now replaced Mr. Bush and Mr. Gorbachev by giving them a nice promotion, silencing their mouth. And now he is left alone to control and to exercise all the power of the first beast. If you write and ask for the books on the Catholic Church, and you'd like me to, I'll include that little newsletter I just read a portion of with it. Please, say, send me the Catholic packet when you write.